begin to look at the lesson this morning. Father, we are grateful for this Lord's Day and the beauty of the day and the opportunities that await us. We're thankful, Father, that we were able to be here today and to look at your word and study from your word. And I pray, Father, that you would bless and use me in a positive way in regard to pride and looking at that and doing justice. And it's a word that goes on both sides. There are those who pride can speak in a very good way, and then there is that pride that takes on another face. But Father, bless us and help us to be true to your word and the reading of your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray and amen. This is a self-examination to help each individual determine where you're at in regard to the pride aspect and the humility aspect of life. Now you think about that. Here is pride. Pride wears two faces. We're going to look at the biblical aspect of what pride's all about, but we're also going to look and blend in the humility aspect of pride. But the main thing is the pride test as we look at that. Going back to our reading there, pride and humility, the scale that you and I determine what area you need and I need to work on in regard to this. You should not apply this to anyone else other than yourself. Sometimes we need to just stop and look at self and examine self and see what our attitude is and how we think people view us sometimes. And a lot of times we will see individuals at a distance and come to know them, and we will form an opinion about that person. And that's easy to do. And then as time goes along, we find out, you know, that person is not really who I, when I first saw or talked with, anything like I had imagined. They're really good people and humble people. But you've got the two there, humility and the area of pride. And there is a sense of pride. We used to have that drilled in us. Remember who you are, who you represent. Remember about the pride aspect of things. Don't be a haughty pride, but be a proud, the fact that you're a Christian. Be proud of the fact that you who you are. And sometimes people don't have that feeling about themselves. Well, pride begins at 10. Humility begins at 1. So here's the top side. Here is the low side. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 30. That's why I said if we look at the book of Matthew, look at the Beatitudes, 5th chapter, as we go through God's word, then we'll be able to relate here. Proud people focus on the failures of others and can readily point out those faults. Now think about that. Let me share that again with you. Proud people focus on the failure of others and can readily point out the faults of others, whereas the humble person is more conscious of their own spiritual need than anyone else. You ever stop and take inventory of yourself and who you are, who you represent, what you're about, how people maybe view you? Have you ever, maybe those who are new at Neely's Bend, and you see somebody at distance, maybe it's a countenance that says something or speaks, the look on their face, the fact they don't communicate very much, and we form an opinion, don't we? We make just that opinion about someone when we see them. We wonder about that person. And then as time goes along, you get to know that person, and the walls come down, and you say, you know, they're just plain good people. They're just everyday people. And you feel comfortable being with them. There can be those occasions where there are those you come in contact with you maybe don't feel as comfortable with. And it takes a while to build in. Proud people focus on failures of others and can readily point out the faults, whereas humble people are more conscious of their spiritual need than anyone else. And why beholdest the mote that is in your eye, but considerest the beam? Look at the beam in your eye. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. I heard a fellow tell a story one time. He was a preacher, and he was taking a group of his parishioners, his church family, to the other side of the waters there. They were going to start in England and come across, and they were going to view the holy lands and see a lot of places. Well, the first place they went was England. That was where they initially started. Some of them wanted to go to England. It was about a 2 or 3 week trip. Well, it started off with a very negative experience, because when he went in, the preacher did, to see if rooms were ready, and they were on schedule and trying to follow through. And they tell me, never been on one of those, but, you know, it's pretty structured. And when he went in and asked about the rooms, he was informed by the Englishman, those rooms are not ready yet. You need to just calm down and take a seat over there. Well, I've got 2 busloads of people that I brought from the airport, and they really got into a little scuffle. And he said, you know, I was just before going over the counter. Some other folks from the hotel came to intercede and to calm everything down. And then he captured who he was and what he was about. And he didn't have to, but he chose to apologize and say, I'm very sorry for my behavior. I should not have acted as I did. But we were anticipating staying on a schedule. We were informed, and rightly so. But you know, things happen in life that we can't just always follow right down the line on things. Right now, if you try to get up on interstate, and I can attest to that, it's not an easy chore, is it? I mean, you have to go through Hogtown and everywhere else from up where we live, don't you, Randy, to just try to get to Goodlettsville. But it clears up after Goodlettsville. So if you're thinking about going up in Robertson County or using interstate to go to Bowling Green, I wouldn't recommend it for a while, because they've got jackhammers and everything going and all blocked off, and it's really short on nerves. And when I went home yesterday afternoon, traffic was backed up all the way past the top of the ridge and almost, the way I could see, to the White House exit. You know, that tries you, doesn't it, huh? And particularly, you get a little tight when you've only got a half tank of gas. I mean, it really makes you nervous. But Woody smiled and nodded his head, so he'll bring you gas if you go that way and run out. So. Anyway, life. And we get to look at, am I the only person? And sometimes we look at, you know, I'm the only person in the world that this has happened to. No. I guess everybody in here at some time ran out of gas or had a difficulty. But you see, blessed are the poor in spirit, your spirit. Doesn't mean you got to go down with a long face and everything. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Try to be that person. Proud people focus on the failures of others. Another story that I remember hearing of the preacher going back to him that had brought all of those people in. In that course of conversation, and this is a lesson for Americans to learn, he went so far as to say, and I re-listened to it because I heard him telling the story to his church when he got back to there, and he said, you know, the listening part of things, and this man said to him, you Americans think y'all are first and you've got to have everything. You know, you think a lot about that. We are a spoiled people, aren't we? If we would own up to it, how good we've got it. You look at the rest of the world just through the news and everything, and yes, we are a very blessed people. Freedoms, privileges, opportunities, what we have access to. And I can look at an audience here, and many of you and myself have traveled the road. Do you ever remember when you didn't have air conditioning, you had a window fan? You turned that on and every curtain in the house started doing this, didn't it? You remember when you just had one channel of television, round screen, black and white, rough and ready, howdy doody. It came on at 8 o'clock. I don't know who turned it on, but it came on at 8 o'clock. But I'll tell you one thing. At 10 o'clock when Carl Seifert got through, it was off. And then next morning it came back on. One channel. But what have we got now? Hundreds? Thousands? I don't know what we've got in channels and so on. But what we have available to us. You look at how blessed we are in where we are at going to the store. And you go through, and I remember when it was at Kroger in Madison years ago where Corman's was at one time. There's a little Kroger store there, and my folks shop there. There's about four or five boxes of cereal, different kinds, Kix and Cheerios and all brands, you know, for the older people and everything. But anyway, here's all of this. It wasn't all that. It was five. And that was your choice. You go now, and I guarantee you it'll run past maybe to the front yard out there. Cereal just on one side. That's where you add the milk. And over on this side will be where you add water to the oatmeal, and there's every kind over on this side. We've come a long way, haven't we? But you see, this word, you say, what's the purpose in that? I'm saying right here, if we're not careful, we'll become too proud, too haughty sometimes, take too much for granted. And we need to look at who we are. What kind of person am I? How do people perceive me? What do people think about me? Do they see me as proud and haughty? Or do they see you as a humble, giving, caring person who serves and takes care of others? Proud people have a critical, fault-finding spirit. Now, don't hold this true. This is kind of a survey that was done, and they've taken out what up here. Humble people are more compassionate. They are kind, loving, overlook the life of individuals, or the behavior sometimes of how people are. And sometimes we do have to do that. Sometimes it comes from the way you grew up, the way you were raised, if you look at it. A lot of factors into that, but when you think about the biblical aspect of what he is saying here, of the multitude of saints, humble people forgive much because they know how much they have been forgiven. They go back. They're people who read and study the Word of God, many. And then you have those that what they obtain generally is through a class or through the preaching or else maybe what they hear on the radio if they listen to them. But it does not come from the Word and the study and the looking of the Word of God. Well, we have both kinds of people. We've got those that go like a locomotive. Old saying is, whistles don't pull trains. Now you think about that. That's a pretty good little saying right there. Whistle don't pull the train. There's something else. But you have those people, those prideful people. And sometimes, you know, you listen and you can begin to distinguish and to see the attitude there. And the Lord, in His Word here, through the book of Matthew and other places, talks about that haughty spirit and how we can present ourselves and how we can discourage others and what can take place. For if any forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses. But if you forgive not men theirs, neither will your Father forgive you. Matthew 7, 14 through 15. Proud people are especially prone to criticize people in authority. They're quick to criticize elders and preachers, even in the political arena, the president, the mayor, the councilman. How critical we can be sometimes if we're not careful in regard to individuals. And how gossiping we can be sometimes about other folks. And yet Timothy has remarks to be made, 1 Timothy 2:12, when he said, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving thanks be made to all men, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceable, godly life. So he laid the constraint. He said, here it is up here, and here's where we ought to be right here. Yesterday, I want to share this story. I had the privilege, many of you may know the McMurtry family. Mr. William McMurtry, his family has been in the sanitation business since back in about 1931, I think they said. And you see their trucks used to all over town, still see their trucks all over town. And in fact, at the funeral home the other day, somebody asked me about a service, and I said, yes, I'm going to have a part of that service and so on. Said, let me tell you about the McMurtry. I live out here on Martha, and they are the best people in the world and so on like that. And then as I began to know them better, I had met that family years ago, and of all things, through someone that all of you will smile about, if you know Harvey very well, Harvey Tao introduced me to them, and then I had lunch with this family. And they were as good, down-to-earth, helpful. And then at the funeral home, visiting around, listening to people talk, all I could hear was really good remarks about this family, positive things about them, how they were second-milers, how folks who they had been removing their trash, taking their trash, one day realized they don't even bring the little roller thing out anymore, and so they go to the door to see what the problem is. The family's not able to do that because of the years, and their children did it. Now their children are not able to come do it. And so they go that second mile and do that. And all kinds of stories that were told in regard to what they did, over and above what they were supposed to. But you know, I never heard one negative word about what they did. And you know what really impressed me, and you may have been in Nashville yesterday coming in toward town, but when we got ready to leave to go to the cemetery, I walked out on the front porch, and there sat the biggest truck that said McMurtry Sanitation on the side of it. And his wife, and that they wanted to be led. They wanted to lead that and go down the street. You say advertisement? No, you'd have to know the people. I couldn't get over. She had a hard time getting the first step to get up there, and then the second step, and then to get into the truck. And I thought, now isn't that something? A lady in a dress wanting to show her love and support in what she did for her children. And you know, the children were exactly carbon copies, two boys and a daughter were, of how caring. And when I got to thinking about the pride aspect and what they do and the name they have, it all went back to the kind of character in people. And so when I look at the pride thing here this morning, sitting down going over it, I began to make notes about what I had seen and what took place there. And they went all the way down to Spring Hill, had to go in the lower way and come back in the back way. They didn't take it all the way to Greg. They parked it there. They got out. They took them back on the cart back there. We followed back. Had the closing there. But they were so gracious and thankful. Just super class people. And it restores your faith because, you know, we can be so negative and so fussy and so complaining sometimes. And we come in, and I have known within the building, not here. I sit right there. You have my seat. Would you all mind scooting down a little bit? They may be visitors. They may be regular. Now, that's the truth. You say, what's the deal? Well, our pride sometimes, that's where I always sit. This is where I'm supposed to be. And we are creatures of habit. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we have folks who are visiting here, and we don't know everybody, and we don't recognize. That could be a visitor right there. Would we want to discourage them? No. We want to encourage our visitors. We want to encourage each other. That's what we're about today, is encouraging one another. Proud people, many times, are self-righteous. They look down on others. Humble people think the best of others. They esteem others better than themselves. That's what he says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Proud people have to prove that they are right and they have to get the last word. Humble people are just willing to say, okay, you're right, move ahead. You know, it takes a lot of discipline, and I'll just say, hey, it's not worth the fight. It's not worth a war of words to get into and to do that. And sometimes our pride, and the old devil will push us that way. But I say unto you that ye shall resist not evil. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him the other. And if any man sue thee at law and take away your coat, give him your cloak. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that borroweth thee, turn not away. Matthew again, chapter 5, verse 39 through 42. Now you look at those passages of Scripture. You look at the life of Jesus. You see how he conducted himself, the example that he was. And yes, there were those times that he would speak up and he would challenge, but the way in which he worded things and the way he said to others. You remember the time the little lady was there at the well and taking that heart, and she wasn't the best. And the Lord just kind of kneeled down, and he made those remarks there. And when he looked up, there was gone but her. And he had the kindest thing, said, she went on her way. Sometimes, see, we pass opportunities to show that we do have that Christian core about us. And if everybody could go back. And you say, no, why are you on this so much? Well, because I had a reinforcement yesterday because of the people that I came to know through a man named Harvey Tao. Many of you know Harvey. And Harvey is very business, very straight to the point. And if you ever had a baptism at Madison and you were going to be the person to do that, I've gone back there. And I mean, Harvey had your coat off of you before you walked through the door and put another coat on you and had sit down and get the waiters on you. I mean, he was just like that, very business, because he wanted things to be on time. He had heard that we start on time and end on time. And a lot of people say, I've been around Harvey, I know. But let me tell you something, there's two sides to each and every one of us. We see this side of somebody, and he is very business. And he wouldn't appreciate it. If word gets back to him and you go tell him now, then he'll get after my case. He's not hesitant, you know, to call you and say, I heard what you said, like that. And I said, well, be happy about it and hang up, you know, and move on. That's the only way you can deal sometimes with people. But you think about what we've been reading about the attitude, and I'm not saying everybody that has carries on an attitude like that. I've seen folks that had a lot, but you would never know that because they were as much a servant and doing and caring and helping other people. And I worked for a man like that, cleaned up cars for Joe Corley for many years while I was going out Lipscomb. And Joe helped a lot of people, but he didn't want anybody to know he ever did anything for anybody. But had a great big heart, was a caring man. And he worked with people to help people and to do for people. Nobody knows the good deeds that he's done. And there are folks like that. And we know of people like that. I say we as a congregation know of people who are servants, who practice some things that we're saying here. Try to always put the best forward. Always try to be a good representative of the Lord. And to put on the best for others. Proud people feel bad when others succeed. Now, you know, that's pretty simplistic, isn't it? We see somebody that does well, succeeds, and it kind of bothers me. I thought I should have, maybe. And I guess we've all been there, whether it be in a secular world, whether it be in the church, wherever it should be. How come he's doing that? Sometimes even the person like myself, I wonder why me? Why would I be? Because all I have and all you have really and truly is the Word of God and stories to tell from the Word of God. Things you experience, you read from God's Word and you see a story unfolded there, and you can relate to that story from the Word of God. Proud people feel bad when others succeed, and humble people are eager when others get the credit. Have you known folks like that that want to deflect and see somebody else get the credit and somebody else get the good out of it? They're not so much, you know, me first. I should get credit here. Let somebody else have the credit. You know, church is full of folks like that. And then we used to have the servant's towel years ago, and I'm looking at Madison people. You remember when the servant's towel was given at Madison? And it was given to that individual that had served quietly. And they were, most of them were embarrassed when they'd be called up and say, here, we'll give you the servant's towel. You remember the story about the servant's towel? Washing of the feet and the drying of the feet. Humble, sweet spirit. And most of those people were very reluctant. I mean, if they had known ahead of time, they probably wouldn't have felt comfortable doing something like that. And there's those in this audience that if from the pulpit or from individuals, it's kind of, you know, you kind of hunker down sometimes. You appreciate it. But you see, the attitude with which we need to look at and think about. Proud people think they know a lot. Humble people know they don't know much and they need help. You know, some are too proud to go and ask for some kind of help in an understanding or in a helpful way, or can you give me advice here? Can you help me? And some folks are just too proud. And I think some of us probably know folks like that. And I'm not saying anybody in this room, but you know people that, I'll take care of it, but I'll just do it myself. Well, why don't you ask for a little help? Well, no, I'll do it. And the attitude with which. And some people do things with a bad attitude. People are slow to apologize and ask for forgiveness. Boy, that's really tough, isn't it? Now, you think that went through. Can you remember when you were about this size and you got in a little scuffle with somebody, neighbors or brother, sister, or somebody, and mama and dad said, you need to apologize. If you don't, I'm going to give you a paddling. Well, let me get the paddle. Well, I'm sorry. No, that's not what I want. I want you. Hey, it carries through. It does. Where did they learn that? Sometimes, you know, I look at myself and I say, no, you need to kind of a refresher course to help you get through in regard. Therefore, if thou bring your gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, you leave there that gift before the altar, and you go that way, and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come back to the altar. Attitude. Our attitude. What kind of attitude? I mean, if you grew up with Glendale and Viola and you went to the car pouting, you had from Pierce Road down to where church was or to Union Hill to get that good look on your face and to get your attitude right, or we'll have it right before you get there. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You heard them holler that all the way from the front porch, hadn't you? See, that's what happens when you get a neighbor like that, didn't you? No, Iris is right. She knew Dad and Mom. They were neighbors for years till Dad and Mom went to be with the Lord. But my point is, you look at the haughty spirit. We don't appreciate that. We look at those who have a humble spirit. We appreciate that. We see those who do so many things quietly without any recognition and don't want recognition. And you have great respect and appreciation. And many folks, if you try to stroke them or to hold them up, they're embarrassed about that. They don't feel comfortable with that. They just choose to go out, do good deeds, and just let it go. You know, it's been interesting. I think that person has been found out. But I believe it was California someplace, went around hiding money here, there, and everywhere. And people would find it. And then around Christmas time, wasn't it, somebody would put a gold dollar or something in the kittle or something like that. Nobody ever knew who it was. They didn't have to be helped up. They didn't have to be stroked. They just did it in a very quiet, humble way. It's a lot of things. You know, you look in the book of Matthew, all through God's Word, but Matthew in particular, that fifth chapter that he carries through there and talks about love does not delight in evil but rejoices in the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. Here's the instruction book. Here's the word right here. And it is just to take those words off the page. What does he say? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, what about putting that word in your heart and living by that word and being cordial and being truthful with each other and accepting one another? You know, I don't like them because you see how he walks. Now, you think I'm kidding about that. You like him? You see, he never smiles. It's always the guy. You know, women are just right there. They're perfection. Well, they ought to be. They were second come along. God said, well, I can do better than that. And so he made a woman, didn't he? Folks, we need to be on our toes and everything. This old world's not getting better. And that disturbs me personally because we of the Christian faith can make a great difference in the world in which we live, starting within our own neighborhood and doing good deeds and trying to be the right kind of a neighbor and help folks. Let's have a prayer. Father, for your love, grace, and mercy, we say thank you. And Father, know that we love you. And we don't see anything that we cannot do. You don't ask the impossible. You just ask us to live right, do right, and do those things that are possible in our life. Father, bless each and every one in this room and help us through the continuation of our life to be conscious of a good attitude and to be a person who is willing to serve cheerfully. Thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.